Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI FM in Rochester, New York, and is funded by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council.
Say, there's a little rhythm, rhythm, rhythm. The pit-pats through my brain. So darn persistent, the day isn't distant when it will drive me insane.
This is Fascinating Rhythm, songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. When a musical needs to dig more deeply into what makes a character tick, composer and lyricist alike turn to the musical soliloquy. It's the best possible way to reveal what's going on inside.
Oh, how I long to be the man I used to be. Fascinating rhythm, you gotta stop picking on me.
Although soliloquies reach their highest expression in the musicals of Rodgers and Hammerstein, they date back at least as far as George M. Cohan's Yankee Doodle Boy. In the 1940s, though, in anticipation of Rodgers and Hammerstein's musical plays, musicals took a darker turn. In Rodgers and Hart's Pal Joey, a wealthy middle-aged woman considers her affair with a younger man who's a lout but great in bed. In Lady in the Dark, Kurt Weill and Ira Gershwin explore a character who's successful on the surface, though her success covers a mass of insecurities. From a daydream to a dream sequence, Vivian Siegel, Bewitched, and Gertrude Lawrence, The Saga of Jenny.
After one whole quart of brandy, like a daisy I awake, with no promo seltzer. Sensation. I've done pretty well, I think. But this half pint imitation put me on the blink. I'm wild again, beguiled again, a simpering, whimpering child again. Sleep where I shouldn't sleep. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Lost my heart, but what of it? My mistake, I agree. He's a laugh, but I love it because the laugh's on me. But still he is all mine, and I'll keep him until he is bewitched, bothered, and bewildered like me.
Jenny made her mind up when she was 12 that into foreign languages she would delve. But at 17 to pass her, it was quite a blow that in 27 languages she couldn't say no.
Poor Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find.
To Jenny I'm beholden, her heart was big and golden, but she wouldn't make up her mind.
In foreign languages she couldn't say no.
Jenny made her mind up at 22, to get herself a husband was the thing to do. So she got herself all dolled up in her satins and furs. She got herself a husband, but he wasn't hers. Jenny made her mind up at 39. She would take a trip to the Argentine. She was only on vacation, but the Latins agree. Jenny was the one who started the good neighbor policy.
Poor Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find.
For passion doesn't vanish in Portuguese or Spanish, and she wouldn't make up her mind.
She instituted the good neighbor policy.
Jenny made her mind up at 75. She would live to be the oldest woman alive. But gin and rum and whiskey play such funny tricks. And Jenny kicked the bucket at 76.
Jenny points a moral with which you cannot quarrel. Makes a lot of common sense.
Jenny and her saga prove that you are gaga if you don't keep sitting on the fence.
Jenny and her story point the way to glory to all men and womankind.
Anyone with vision comes to this decision.
Don't make up, you shouldn't make up, you mustn't make up, or never make up. Anyone with vision comes to this decision.
From 1940, Vivian Segal, Bewitched, and from 1941, Gertrude Lawrence, The Saga of Jenny. You're listening to Fascinating Rhythm, Songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. With the coming of Oklahoma in 1943, everything changed. Even though the show was bright and colorful, its two villains were dangerous men. Yet the show begins on a brightening note. A sunrise as a cowboy sings off stage to express his contentment today and his optimism about the future. It sets the tone for a show that, despite the moments of darkness, tells us that all will be well for Curly, Oklahoma, and in the midst of World War II, America. Alfred Drake, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. The corn is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Standing like statues, all the cattle are standing like statues. They don't turn their heads when they see me ride by, but a little brown maverick is winking her. Sounds of the earth are like music. The breeze is so busy, don't miss a tree. And old weeping willow is laughing at me.
Alfred Drake, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. If Oklahoma was essentially bright, Carousel was up to then one of the darkest of all Broadway musicals. A violent wanderer named Billy Bigelow finds love and tries to change his life, but ultimately fails and finds peace only after he's killed in a robbery. The score is rich, generally romantic or ebullient, but its greatest song reflects Billy's coming to grips with the fact that his wife Julie is pregnant. Rodgers and Hammerstein entitled it simply, Soliloquy. This is John Raitt.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what he'll think of me. I guess he'll call me the old man. I guess he'll think I can lick every other feller's father. Well, I can. I bet that he'll turn out to be the spitting image of his dad. But he'll have more common sense than his pudding-headed father ever had. I'll teach him to wrestle and dive through a wave when we go in the mornings for our swim. His mother can teach him the way to behave, but she won't make a sissy out of him. Not him, not my boy, not Bill. Bill. My boy Bill, I will see that he's named after me. I will. My boy Bill, he'll be tall and as tough as a tree. Will Bill, like a tree, he'll grow with his head held high and his feet planted firm on the ground. And you won't see nobody dare to try to boss him or toss him around. No pot-belly, baggy-eyed bully will boss him around. I don't give a damn what he does, as long as he does what he likes. He can sit on his tail or work on a rail with a hammer and spikes. He can ferry a boat on the river or peddle a pack on his back, or work up and down the street of a town with a whip and a horse and a hack. He can haul a scow along a canal, run a cow around a corral, or maybe bark for a carousel. Of course, it takes talent to do that well. He might be a champ of the heavyweights, or a fella that sells you glue, or president of the United States. That'd be all right, too. Yeah, his mother'd like that, but he wouldn't be president unless he wanted to be. Not Bill. My boy Bill, he'll be tall and as tough as a tree. Will Bill, like a tree, he'll grow with his head held high and his feet planted firm on the ground. And you won't see nobody dare to try to boss him or toss him around. No fat-bottomed, flabby-faced, pot-bellied, baggy-eyed bully will boss him around. And I'm damned if he'll marry his boss's daughter, a skinny-lipped woman with blood like water, who give him a peck and call it a kiss and look in his eyes through a lorgnette. Say, why am I taking on like this? My kid ain't even been born yet. I can see him when he's 17 or so and starting in to go with a girl. I can give him lots of pointers, very sound, on the way to get round any girl. I can tell him, wait a minute, could it be? Well, what if he is a girl? Bill. Bill. What would I do with her? What could I do for her, a bum with no money? You can have fun with a son, but you gotta be a father to a girl. She mightn't be so bad at that, a kid with ribbons in her hair, a kind of neat and petite little tin type of her mother. What a pair! I can just hear myself bragging about her. My little girl, pink and white as peaches.
is and cream is she. My little girl is half again as bright as girls are meant to be. Dozens of boys pursue her, many a likely lad does what he can to her from her faithful dad. She has a few pink and white young fellers of 2 and 3, but my little girl gets hungry every night, and she comes home to me. My little girl, my little girl, I gotta get ready before she comes. Gotta make certain that she won't be dragged up in slums with a lot of bums like me. She's gonna be sheltered and fed and dressed in the best that money can buy. I never knew how to get money, but steal it or take it or die.
John Raitt with Soliloquy. 5 years after Carousel, the soliloquy took a decidedly comic turn. In Guys and Dolls, a doll named Miss Adelaide contemplates the state of her life with her intended of 14 years, Nathan Detroit. For 14 years, they started for Niagara, only to detrain at Saratoga. The memorable result, says Miss Adelaide, a person can develop a cold. It's what comes from all the waiting around. Faith Prince, Adelaide's Lament.
Look, Adelaide, you're getting yourself upset. You and I are going to be all right. After all, we love each other, and we're going to get married.
I don't believe you anymore.
But it's true. Oh, you'll feel better tomorrow. Come on, cheer up, honey. Let's see that old smile. That's my girl. See you tomorrow.
It says here, the average unmarried female, basically insecure, due to some long frustration, may react with psychosomatic symptoms difficult to endure, affecting the upper respiratory tract. In other words, just from waiting around for that plain little band of gold, a person can develop a cold. You can spray her wherever you figure the streptococci lurk. You can give her a shot for whatever she's got, but it just won't work. If she's tired of getting the fisheye from the hotel clerk, a person can develop a cold. It says here, the female remaining single, just in the legal sense, shows an erotic tendency, see note. Tendency, see note. Oh, see note. Oh, here we go. Like that. Chronic organic syndromes, toxic or hypertense, involving the eye, the ear, the nose, and throat. In other words, just from worrying whether the wedding is on or off, a person can develop a cough. You can feed her all day with the vitamin A and the bromo fizz, But the medicine never gets anywhere near where the trouble is. If she's getting a kind of a name for herself, and the name ain't his, a person can develop a cough. And furthermore, just from stalling and stalling and stalling the wedding trip, a person can develop lock rip. When they get on the train for Niagara and she can hear church bells chime, the compartment is air conditioned and the mood sublime. Then they get off at Saratoga for the 14th time. A person can develop lug rip, la post nasal drip with the wheezes and the sneezes and a sinus that's really a pip. From a lack of community property and a feeling she's getting too old, a person can develop a
Faith Prince, Adelaide's Lament. Even with the relative psychological complexity that Rodgers and Hammerstein introduced to musicals in the 1940s, the shows aren't supposed to be too serious. Even soliloquies can make their serious point partly through humor. In 1943, the same year as Oklahoma, Kurt Vile and light verse poet Ogden Nash wrote Vile's most conventional musical, even though it offered a satiric view of the world of contemporary art. After the goddess Venus takes earthly form and finds herself falling in love with a barber, she reflects on her feelings about him. She's in love, but she knows she's not in love with perfection. Mary Martin, that's him.
You know the way you feel when there is autumn in the air. That's him. That's him. The way you feel when Antoine has finished with your hair. That's him. That's him. You know the way you feel when you smell bread baking. The way you feel when suddenly a tooth stops aching. Wonderful world, wonderful you. That's him, that's him. He is as simple as a swim in summer. Not arty, not actory. He's like a plumber when you need a plumber. He's satisfactory. You know the way you feel when you want to knock on wood. The way you feel when your heart is gone for good. Wonderful world. Wonderful you, that's him. You could shuffle him with millions, soldiers and civilians. I'd pick him out. In the darkest caves and hallways, I would know him always, beyond a doubt. Identification comes easily to me, because that's he. You know the way you feel about the rhapsody in blue. That's him. Ah, oh, that's him. The way you feel about a hat created just for you. That's him. That's him. You know the way you feel when the fireflies glimmer, the way you feel when overnight your hips grow slimmer. Wonderful world, wonderful you.
Mary Martin, that's him. By the 1950s, soliloquies were well established in Broadway scores, so composers and lyricists began looking for innovative ways to use them dramatically. In South Pacific, Nellie and Emil stand at opposite sides of a room, each concentrating on the other, both considering their feelings about the other. Rodgers and Hammerstein interweave the two songs. In Pajama Game from 1954, Sid Sorokin, the factory superintendent, is new in town. He knows few people and has a difficult job, but he meets someone he's attracted to. He has no one to tell it to, so he talks into his dictation machine and then plays it back. A soliloquy as duet with yourself. Mary Martin and Ezio Pinza, twin soliloquies, and John Raitt, Hey There.
Wonder how I'd feel living on a hillside, looking on an ocean beautiful and still.
This is what I need, this is what I've longed for, someone young and smiling climbing up my hill.
We are not alike. Probably I'd bore him. He's a cultured Frenchman. I'm a little hick.
Younger men than I, officers and doctors, probably pursue her. She could have her pick.
Wonder why I feel cheery and jumpy. I am like a schoolgirl waiting for a dance.
Can I ask her now? I am like a schoolboy. What will be her answer? Do I have a chance?
Stars in your eyes, love never made a fool of you. You used to be too wise. Hey there, you on that high flying cloud, though she won't throw a crumb to you, you think someday she'll come to you. Better forget her, her with her nose in the air. She has you dancing on a string, break it, and she won't care. Just too far gone to hear. Is it all going in one ear and out the other? Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes.
You talking to me?
Love never made a fool of you.
Not until now.
You used to be too wise.
Yeah, I was. Once.
Hey there.
I hear ya.
You on that high flying cloud. Though she won't throw a crumb to you.
Don't rub it in.
You think someday she'll come to you.
Forget her.
Martin and Ezio Pinza twin soliloquies, and John Raitt, Hey There. You're listening to the Peabody Award-winning Fascinating Rhythm, Songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. Beginning with the musicals of the 1940s, songs are supposed to advance the story or deepen our understanding of character. Soliloquies usually do the second, though often at the expense of the first. They're large and dramatic, often climactic, and call attention to the character singing them. The soliloquy is never separate from the plot, but for a few minutes the plot slows for something else to take center stage. When George visits the ailing Amalia in She Loves Me, he takes her ice cream. They've always bickered, but now for the first time they get along. Once George leaves, Amalia thinks about the changes in George's behavior and in her own feelings. Sitting up in bed, she sings Ice Cream.
Dear friend, I am so sorry about last night. It was a nightmare in every way. But together you and I will laugh at last night someday. Ice cream. He brought me ice cream, vanilla ice cream. Imagine that! Ice cream, and for the first time, we were together without a spat.
just never cease. It's been a most peculiar day. Will wonders never cease? Will wonders never cease? Oh, where was I? I am so sorry about last night. It was a nightmare in every way, but together you and I will have last night someday. I sat there waiting in that cafe and never guessing that you were fat, that you were near. You were outside looking bald. Oh, my. Dear friend, I am so sorry about last night. Last night, I was so nasty. Well, he deserved it, but even so. Strange as it may seem, he came to offer me vanilla ice cream.
Barbara Cook with Jerry Bock and Sheldon Harnick's Ice Cream. In the late 50s, the musical began to change again, to become the concept musical. Plot and the integration of score and book became less important than theme, imagery, and inner reflection. Dance became an essential part of the effect. Among the first shows to move in that direction, one foot in each area, was Gypsy, set in the seedy backstage world of burlesque, where Mama Rose tries to make stars out of her reluctant children. Only at the end does Rose's rage explode when her efforts fail and her children reject her. The play ends with Rose center stage. Tyne Daly, Rose's turn.
You haven't any talent, not an ounce of it. Miss Gypsy Rose Lee, I made you. I could have been better than any of you. What I got in me, what I've been holding down inside of me. Oh, if I ever let it out, there wouldn't be signs big enough. There wouldn't be lights bright enough. Here she is, boys. Here she is, world. Here's Rose. Mama. Mama's talking loud, Mama's doing fine, Mama's getting hot, Mama's going strong, Mama's moving on, Mama's all alone, Mama doesn't care, Mama's letting loose, Mama's got the stuff, Mama's letting go, Mama's got the stuff, Mama's gotta move, Mama's gotta go, Mama's... Mama's gotta let go. Why did I do it? What did it get me? Scrapbooks full of me in the background. Give them love, and what does it get you? What does it get you? One quick look as each of them leaves you. All your life, and what does it get you? Thanks a lot, and out with the garbage. They take vows, and you're batting zero. I had a dream. I dreamed it for you, June. It wasn't for me, Herbie. And if it wasn't for me, then where would you be? When is it my turn? Don't I get a dream for myself? Starting now, it's gonna be my turn. Gangway world, get off of my runway. Starting now, I'm at 1,000. This time, boys, I'm taking the vows. And everything's coming up roses. Everything's coming up roses. Everything's coming up roses. This time for me.
Tyne Daly with Julie Stein and Stephen Sondheim's Roses Turn. Fiddler on the Roof takes another step in the direction of the concept musical. It tells the story of Tevye and his daughters, all eligible to marry but poor. The concept of the show emerges from its opening number, Tradition, but its soliloquy gives tender yet comic expression to the character of Tevye, his life with his wife and daughters, in his never-ending conversation with God. Zero Mostel, If I Were a Rich Man.
Dear God, you made many, many poor people. I realize, of course, that it's no shame to be poor, but it's no great honor either. So what would have been so terrible if I had a small fortune? If I were a rich man, all day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a biddy biddy rich, idle diddle 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 man, I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. A fine tin roof with a real wooden floors below. There couldn't be one long staircase just going up and one even longer coming down. And one more leading nowhere just for show. I'd fill my yard with chicks and turkeys and geese and ducks for the town to see and hear, squawking just as noisily as they can. And each loud will land like a trumpet on the ear, as if to say here lives a wealthy man. Oh, if I were a rich man, all day long I'd biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a bitty, bitty rich, yidle-diddle-diddle-diddle-man, I see my wife, my Goldie, looking like a rich man's wife with a proper double chin, supervising meals to our heart's delight. I see her putting on airs and strutting like a peacock. Oh, what a happy mood she's in, screaming at the servants day and night. The most important men in town will come to fawn on me. They will ask me to advise them like a Solomon the Wise. If you please, Reptavia, pardon me, Reptavia, posing problems that would cross a rabbi's eyes. La-ri-ri-ra-ri-ri-ra-ra. And it won't make one bit of difference if I answer right or wrong. When you're rich, they think you really know. If I were rich, I'd have the time that I lack to sit in a synagogue and pray, and maybe have a seat by the Eastern Wall. And I discuss the holy books with the learned men 7 hours every day. That would be the sweetest thing of all. Oh, if I were a rich man, all day long I'd bitty bitty bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man?
Zero Mostel with Jerry Bock and Sheldon Harnicks, If I Were a Rich Man. Without question, Cabaret from 1966 and Chicago from 1975 are two of the very best concept musicals. The form was in unstoppable decline, but these two shows were filled with pizzazz despite their darkness. The concept lies in the use of show business. Cabaret and the line that echoes through the show, "Life is a cabaret, old chum." Chicago in its subtitle, a musical vaudeville. The soliloquies are loud, brassy, insistent, vulgar, revealing, and funny. Great star turns for great stars. Jill Hayworth, who's really singing about herself in Cabaret's title song, and Gwen Verdon with Nowadays.
Ladies and gentlemen, and now, once again, Fräulein Sally Bowles!
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. Time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine, come hear the band, come blow your horn, start celebrating. Right this way, your table's waiting. No use permitting some prophet of doom to wipe every smile off. Have a girlfriend known as Elsie, with whom I shared four sordid rooms in Chelsea. She wasn't what you'd call a blushing flower. As a matter of fact, she rented by the hour. The day she died, the neighbors came to snicker. Well, that's what comes of too much pills and liquor. But when I saw her laid out like a queen, she was the happiest corpse I'd ever seen. I think of Elsie to this very day. I remember how she turned to me and said, what good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Down the knitting, the book and the broom. Time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. And as for me, I made my mind. It's good, isn't it grand? Isn't it great? Isn't it swell? Isn't it fun? Isn't it nowadays? There's men everywhere, jazz everywhere, booze everywhere, life everywhere, joy everywhere nowadays. You can like the life you're living. You can live the life you like. You can even marry Harry, but mess around with Ike. And that's good, isn't it grand? Isn't it great? Isn't it swell? Isn't it?
Theater, Chicago's finest home of family entertainment, is proud to announce the first The first time anywhere there's been an act of this nature. Not only one little lady, but two. You've read about them in the papers, and now here they are, a doubleheader. Chicago's own killer dinners. Those two scintillating sinners, Roxy Hart and Velma Kelly.
You can like the life you're living. You can live the life you like. You can even marry Harry, but mess around with Ike. And that's good. Isn't it grand? Isn't it great?
Jill Hayworth, Cabaret, and Gwen Verdon with Cheetah Rivera, Nowadays. Take a look at the crop of current Broadway musicals, and you'll find soliloquies persisting regardless of the subject or style of the show. It's the way to let us on the outside hear what's going on the characters' inside. Andrew Croucher's the senior audio producer. I'm Michael Lasser. The show's Fascinating Rhythm.
How I long to be the man I used to be. Fascinating rhythm, you gotta stop picking on me.
Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI-FM in Rochester, New York. Support for this program is provided by this station and by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council. For a playlist of this week's program or to listen to Fascinating Rhythm online, visit WXXI.org/rhythm.